Last week in the Gospel, we arrived at the end of chapter 8. And there is a turning point in Mark's Gospel. This sense when Jesus puts this question to the disciples there at Caesarea Philippi. Who do you say I am? And when Peter answers on behalf of the others that you are the Messiah, you are the chosen one of God, there's a new insight. And a possibility then opens for Jesus to then begin to instruct the disciples, the apostles, the way that is to be lived out, what that means. And so last week, and it continues this week, he begins to tell them what the way of the Messiah will be about. It will be about suffering. It will be about this journey to Jerusalem, a journey that will end with the crucifixion. It will end in the way of death. But 3 days later, the Son of Man will rise again. Now, at one level, you can understand why the disciples are confused. Because until this point in the Gospel, indeed until this point in each of the Gospels, Jesus talks to the disciples and talks to the crowd using parables. The kingdom of God is like this. So perhaps when they hear this, they're trying to work out, well, what does this mean? What's this kind of story that he's telling us? They're not used to the literal sense. Everything means something else. So perhaps part of their struggle, at least, is this sense of trying to work out, well, what's going on? What does Jesus indeed, in fact, mean by this saying? It's also kind of comforting. I don't know, maybe it's a kind of sick and perverse sense that I have, but I quite like it when the disciples stuff things up, when they get it wrong, when they are confused, when they don't understand straight away. I take comfort in that when I'm the same, when I struggle to work out what my place with the Lord is, how I'm to live my life as a disciple of Jesus. And then, of course, in order to try and understand or explain this to the disciples, when he asked them, you know, what were you discussing? What were you talking about on the road? When in fact it wasn't trying to work out what Jesus had just said. It wasn't trying to explain and unpack what it meant for someone to be put to death and then 3 days later to rise again. But in fact, they were talking about something that, of course, none of us would ever even imagine talking about. You know, I'm better than you. I'm the greatest. I'm the most important. I'm the most significant. No, we'd never get that. And I'm sure the kindergarten teachers never hear that discussion among their kids. And so then Jesus does something quite extraordinary. He takes one of the kindy kids and he puts this young child in his arms. And he says that if you are to be part of the kingdom, if you want to be welcomed, then you must be like this child. You must not strive to be the greatest. You must desire to be the least. Because a child in that culture was the least. A child was not esteemed in any way. A child was simply just something that you had to kind of put up with to be formed until that point when they became useful as a young teenager and they could be put to work. And so Jesus takes this child and he offers us a deep insight into the way that we are to be as Christians, that we are to be like that little child. Of course, in terms of Christian spirituality, there's one saint who esteems the child perhaps more than any others, and that's Saint Therese. The Therese of Lisieux, of course, had this profound realization and awareness of the power of the little child. She knew how pathetic she was as a young child. And yet she knew, she remembered the way in which she could simply relax and allow her father to hold her, to nourish her, to nurture her, to give her protection and life. And of course, from that, Therese develops this deep sense of the little way, the way of the child. Her spirituality is not about childishness. It's not about being pathetic. It's not about just, you know, doing whatever you want to do. But it's the way of trust. Therese, of course, was intrigued when she first went to one of the big cities, and she saw an elevator the first time. And she said, this is just incredible. You know, previously you had to do all the work and go walking up these long flights of stairs. But now suddenly we're able to be carried up, you know, the tallest of buildings in one of these incredible devices. And she saw this as a sign of the way in which she could be in prayer. That it wasn't about the work that she did. It wasn't about working herself up into a great sense of devotion and prayer. It was simply allowing the Father, like a little child, to pick her up and to take her to the wonders of heaven. It's a deep insight for us to build our lives on that same sense. You know, to look at a child as they play, just caught up in that moment, not worrying about the past, not thinking about the future, not wondering what they have to do, what they have to be concerned about. They simply exult and rejoice in the moment. You know, I can remember back growing up in Bega on those, you know, long summer afternoons and be out in the backyard with my brothers and cousins and playing cricket until it was just too dark for anyone to see the ball, either to hit it or to catch it. Just that sense of just rejoicing in that present moment, just allowing that grace and that gift to be the only thing that matters. That is the way of a child. Or to be like a child when you're driving in your parents' car and you just blissfully fall asleep, not caring, not worrying where the car is going, simply trusting that your mother or father knows the way home, that they will get you there, that they will take you to the place that you need to go. Just that sense of wonder and protection. Looking at Jody with Emmeline and just that, again, that sense of beauty and joy of a two-week-old child being held safely and surely in these arms of love. That is the way that we are invited to be, to rejoice in the present moment, to trust in the love of God, to trust that in the Lord we have that protection. In the Lord, He knows what's best for us, and to allow that to be the only sure thing in our life. If that involves journeying with Jesus on the way of suffering, and it seems that it almost inevitably will, if we journey with Him with that confidence, if we journey with Him resting safely in His protection, not wanting to drive, not wanting to guide and just decide where this car will go, but being content with the Lord, being content to be there and allow Him to be the one who drives and leads and guides, then the way of suffering is bearable. The way of being with Jesus makes sense. You might remember that great passage that from G.K. Chesterton's book, Orthodoxy, when he talks about, you know, when we grow up, we imagine that we have to keep things varied and different in order to, you know, to be adult, in order to make things interesting. But when you watch a child playing, you know, when you watch them enjoying the moment, enjoying the game, the one thing that they will say when you play with a child, when you, you know, push them around in a car or when you push them on a swing, is always, do it again. Do it again. That sense of the wonder of just repeating and rejoicing and exulting. And Chesterton says that maybe that's indeed what the Lord says to the sun. Each morning as it rises, He says to it, do it again. And each evening to the moon, He says, do it again. But He says perhaps it's not out of necessity that the Lord makes every daisy to be the same. But He simply makes each daisy, and He's never grown tired of making each daisy exactly the same. But we in our sin have grown old. We in our sin get caught up with the novelty and with the new. But the Lord invites us to have that same attitude of the child, to say to the Lord, do it again, to rest content in His arms. This is not a new idea. There's a beautiful psalm that we pray at evening prayer on the third Tuesday. And it's from Psalm 131. And it's the prayer of Israel, the prayer of a childlike confidence in God. O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor haughty my eyes. I have not gone after things too great, nor marvels beyond me. Truly I have set my soul in silence and in peace. As a child has rest in its mother's arms, even so my soul. O Israel, hope in the Lord, both now and forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
And when I face that darkest night, what will be my guiding light? The shining rays of red and white. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you.